Blog Talk Radio.
What is poppin', people? It's your man, T-Major. About to get it on again, as we usually do about this time. It's Wednesday. Got a great show for you today. We got Max Stanley on the show. He's the president and founder of Stanley Talent and Management. So we're going to really get into his business a little bit and talk with him. Of course, we get political for about the first couple minutes or so. But, as you know, it's Wednesday. 7 o'clock, where else would you be? Hip Hop All Way. We got that radio. We'll be back.
I thought I told you. I'm a mogul.
Heads up, here we come, y'all live in effect. Mic check, keep your ears moving right to the deck. This is true hip hop, old school flip flop. With a new school twist, just admit it's hot. To the clock, tick tock, and you don't stop. Got in the street, taking over the whole block. Lock to the boys, we need to make more room. Move, get out the way, cause we about to kick in the door. With sports, new music, movies, awards too. You've never seen nothing like this, I assure you. Sorting through, separating facts from fiction. And who's who, what was it that of this? We're going backstage and you ain't getting text admission. But it's what gives you this here's a fast addiction. Listen, process is turn to progress. You got that, but you don't care who got next.
All right, people, we're back. Shamansi Major. About to get in on the poppin', as we always do. Got my man, Max Stanley, president and founder of Stanley Talent and Management, coming on the line in a second. What I wanted to do before that, we are officially 13 days away. Please, if you haven't done so already, get your early voting in. I actually did mine today, feeling really good. So make sure you go down to your local elections office and get your early vote on. It's very important. You don't want to deal with those lines and the hassle on November 4th. You want to be able to help out with the campaign or just sit back and watch the numbers come in on November 4th, whoever you're voting for. Like I said, I'm an Obama man myself, but that's just me. But with all that being said, I'm going to actually open the line right now. And let me see. I think I got my man Matt on the line. How's it going, Matt?
Doing fine. And yourself?
I'm doing good. I can't complain, though.
It is a very good day going on out here in Las Vegas. The weather is nice, but, you know, the
economy. Are you trying to make me jealous?
I'm sorry?
Are you trying to make me jealous?
Well, no. You know, we're actually having an unusual fall. It usually does not stay quite this warm as long, but we have been experiencing
really?
Kind of a warm trend out here.
Okay, so let me just ask. I got to ask, what's the weather like out there?
I think today it's probably in the low 80s, maybe not quite that high, but it's... The last week or so, it's been in the mid-80s, high 80s, actually. You know, we peaked out the other day, almost 90 degrees, so.
All right, if you weren't trying to make me jealous, you just officially made me jealous. we hit about 55 today, so I'm actually extremely jealous right now. So thank you, if you haven't done so.
Not a problem,
you know.
Being out here in the summertime is when nobody's jealous, because then when it peaks out at 120 degrees in the dry desert, you know, and we don't get much rain,
right.
That's not the time to be here. But the fall and the spring, ultimate times to be in Vegas.
Right. I got you. Well, we're not here to talk about the weather. We're not weather people. But I did want to have you on the show because I feel you have a lot of knowledge that you can definitely share with everyone.
Absolutely.
What I'm going to kind of do is cut it up into a couple segments. The first segment, I want to talk to you more about you and your background. And then the second one, I want to really go into what you look for in finding an artist, you know,
okay.
for management and all that. So the first thing I want to talk about is tell us a little bit about your background, first of all.
I was born in the Midwest in a little town in the southern part of Illinois, about 5,000 population. Went to a small high school. Ultimately discovered by the time I'd hit high school that college was not really going to be a direction I would seek, because I was not the type of person that would sit in a classroom to gain knowledge. I wanted to go out and work. So I started my first job when I was 16, actually in a small little bowling alley, and worked my way up through a grocery store and into McDonald's. And then by the time I hit 22 or 23, I knew it was time to get out of that little town. I was never going to go anywhere, so I made a move and actually went to work at the Department of Corrections in Illinois as a correction officer. And I believe that's when I actually grew up. That's when I gained a lot of my knowledge as far as street smarts and being able to deal with people on a regular basis, learning how to talk to people, you know, learning how to treat people like people and not reflect on what they've done in their past or the bad decisions they made. So I believe that was probably the stepping point in my life when I hit that era. And then I moved on from there to Indiana, went back to McDonald's, worked my way up through the chain to store manager, supervisor for them. Spent a good part of my life after that with McDonald's, probably about 12 years total, transferring that career from Indiana to Georgia. And then, you know, after a period of time of working every day for somebody else, I decided that I needed to ultimately make a move. So I came to one of the hot spots in America, out to Las Vegas, and decided that it was time to try something different.
Tell us a little bit, how did that shape you as a person in general, you know, working for, you know, all these different corporations and working for all these different entities? How did that shape you to, I guess, the individual that you are now?
Well, I think ultimately, especially doing a transition from working in the Department of Corrections with people that had made bad decisions or decisions at the time that seemed to affect their life, and then going into corporate America probably made a transition a lot better because I learned how to deal with people when I worked at the Department of Corrections. And then when I went into corporate America, it helped me develop my business sense. When I worked for McDonald's, I ran stores anywhere from $1.5 million a year to $3 million a year. Mm. So in the transition, I learned not only how to deal with people, but how to shape myself to know when to talk to people and how to talk to people, and then learn the ultimate business side of it, you know, that it's not necessarily that, you know, you have to be friends with everybody, but you have to know when to separate the two, meaning friendship's one thing, but when it's business, it's business.
Right. I got you. So let's talk about this. Corporate America versus the entertainment industry. How different are the two? Let's put it like that. How different are the two?
Well, you know, I think in corporate America, there is, you know, a certain set on what you're going to do. They have their goals, the numbers they look at. You're generating revenue for a specific person. You're looking at, you know, the factual basis that you're creating a name for the company. When you go into the entertainment world, it becomes more of a political situation in the fact that not only are you creating a name for yourself, but you're looking out for your client, so it takes a different standard. Corporate America, it's one-on-one. Right. When you're in the entertainment world, it's more than just a one-on-one situation. You're looking out not only for yourself, but for your clients and the people you deal with on a daily basis. So I think in the entertainment world, it becomes more of a one-on-one as far as dealing with the people than in corporate America. There's just a chain of people that you go through. So you never really deal with a one-on-one situation. You just have to go up through a ladder to get where you want to go.
Right. What made you choose the entertainment industry?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What made you choose the entertainment industry as your vehicle?
You know, I dealt with people all my life, and I saw a factual basis that in the entertainment world, you can really affect somebody, meaning that you have the ability to work with them one-on-one, and you can watch a person grow. So I really, that was an attractability factor to me, and I'm very good at speaking with people and helping them, and I gained that knowledge throughout life, you know, doing the one-on-one, being out in the real world. So I think that, and I love music, and I love, you know, the spotlight and seeing people and wanting to understand what it's like for them to be in that spotlight, you know, to see the behind-the-scenes struggles that they go through on a daily basis, to see how the personal life is affected by success. So I think that was really an attractability factor to me.
You talked briefly about, you know, being the corporate struggles, not really struggles so much, but the corporate America made you want to start your own business. Tell us about some of the hurdles you encountered in starting your own business.
Well, you know, the major cost in starting a business, obviously, is money. You know, it takes money to incorporate your company, and you have to find, you know, the right people in that process, from getting your corporate lawyers to your CPAs and your financial advisors, But the biggest basic struggle when you get into the entertainment world is the fact that you're new and everybody looks down upon you because you are new. They don't want to necessarily give you that break and give you the opportunity to show them that you can do something. And then, you know, along with that, just the fact that the number one thing in the entertainment world is trust. And it's very hard to trust people in this world because it is such a cutthroat business and you never know if somebody's doing what they say they're going to do. So those are the major struggles that you look at when you get into it.
Right. You're in Vegas. Tell us a little bit about the Vegas market. I mean, I've been to Vegas a few times, and I know you guys are in a close proximity to L.A., but you're not L.A., obviously. Tell us a little bit about Vegas and the music industry out there.
The Vegas music industry is a tough market to get into because corporate America controls the casinos, which controls the venues. And the biggest struggling fact in Vegas is that they've got away from bringing the big name acts in here just to do shows and letting them go on, because most of the hotels have people that are signed that perform every night here. And what me and another guy are trying to do is to bring back the regular acts, the big names that can come in here and do shows and provide a different variety than what's established here. And that's a tough hurdle to overcome, but we've made great accomplishments in the last 2 weeks. We're getting ready to announce a big venue that will be coming here to Vegas that we've worked on for several weeks. But I think that's the big struggle with the music industry. It's predominantly easier to do music outside of Vegas than it is in Vegas. But we're hoping that we can change that over the next few months with what we're doing.
Right. And what about the new artist scene? Is it very difficult for them to get on because of those same limitations that are placed even on the larger artists? Is it a lot harder for a new artist to kind of break out?
Well, you know, it can be in this town. And the simple fact of the matter is, as a manager or anybody in the industry, you have to do trade-offs. You know, you have to bring in the bigger name, but at the same time get them to let the new and upcoming artist open for them, or to sell another venue at the same time while you guarantee them the other one. It's a well-known fact that there's a lot of politics involved in the game. And if you know how to work the game, you can help your people get in. It's just a gradual process. It takes time. There's a lot of work involved in it, a lot of meetings involved in it, because, you know, the same way with the clubs, you know, you got to build a trust factor with them to get in.
We've been stressing on here recently, especially the elements of team. You know, I talk to a lot of artists all the time, and the key constant of the successful ones have been a strong team. Tell me about your team, because I was looking, and you have a pretty extensive team of people that you work with. So tell us a little bit about your team.
As far as the artists I deal with, or just my overall team?
Your overall team. We're going to get into art, but just your overall team, like your promoters and your photographers.
Sure.
And your, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the key factor is to success is having many people, because you can't do it on your own. There's too much in the world to try to do on your own. So basically what I do is I network with a lot of people, especially here in Vegas and throughout the world. I have promoters on both sides of the coast. I have promoters overseas, predominantly in London right now. I also have CPAs on board, financial advisors. I have attorneys as well. I have a public relations team set up. We have street teams set up throughout the U.S. because everybody has their gift that's given to them by the good Lord. And you have to take those gifts and you have to structure them into a team environment, because basically the manager's role is just to lead the team. You're the captain of the team. So you put everybody in their little area, let them know what they need to do to develop the plan that you're using. So we use a lot of different people. I have people in New York, L.A., Texas, Florida, here in Vegas, and then I have people in London and Sydney that I deal with constantly. And I believe that you have to keep expanding your team, too. You can't be comfortable with the fact that you think you have enough people. You need to broaden out and find the ones that you can trust. And then it's just a scratch, you know. You scratch my back, I scratch your back, and we make sure everybody's taken care of in the process so that everybody's happy.
How did you go from being someone who made the decision to start a business to being someone with such an extensive team spanning all the way overseas, basically? How did that process, how did the networking, because I'm sure it had a lot to do with networking and putting yourself out there, but how did that process happen for someone who's looking to, say, become a manager or jump into that business? How did you do that?
You know, I basically, and a lot of people will laugh when I say this, but I basically started my networking through MySpace. I started building my MySpace page. I started doing specific searches for specific people as far as photographers or promoters or record labels or music stations. I also started doing an online radio station show, you know, on two different networks to kind of build my exposure and to get people interested in it. And obviously there was a lot of emails. I used to send out anywhere from 50 to 100 emails a day. I joined several different social networking sites here in Vegas. Everywhere I went, I dropped a business card somewhere, you know. Called people on the phone, picked names out of the phone book. I mean, it's a never-ending process. You have to be willing to go after the people that most people would tell you you can't get. Because 9 times out of 10, if you pursue it, you're going to get the person you want. Because eventually they're going to get either to the fact they're annoyed or they just know that you're serious about what you're going to do. And they're willing to give you a shot and prove yourself.
Right. You represent everyone from singers to models. And one quote that you have on your bio that I found really interesting said that you're in the business to change lives and to achieve goals. What determines, I guess, an artist, I don't want to say outcome, but an artist, the level they reach? Is it more of the management pushing them or them pushing themselves?
You know, I think it starts with having a very determined manager behind you. If you've got the talent, you also have to have the desire. But I really believe it starts with the manager because with my clients, I set a goals list. We do a goals list from 30 days to 90 days to 120 days out until the year's up. And I think it's very important that you structure that right off the bat. And then going with that and what you said, the client has to have the desire. They have to be willing to network. They have to be willing to get out and push themselves. They have to be willing, you know, to chase down leads. If I'm not in the same town they are, but I can set them up a meeting with somebody, they have to be willing to go there, you know. And that's just a thing that you look for in a client.
Well, talk about the one-on-one attention that it takes. Because I've actually managed a few artists myself, so I'm sure you can relate. One-on-one attention is very important to an artist-manager relationship. How do you balance that, especially when you have different acts and things like that? How do you balance it?
You know, the one-on-one attention is very important because your client has to feel that you're ultimately going after what they want in life. Because I've said it many times before, and I repeat it every time, that I work for the client. They are the boss.
Right.
So in developing that goals list, you have to be able to give them the one-on-one attention every day, from the phone calls to the emails to, you know, talking to them whenever they're down, if they're having a bad day. Get on the phone, find out what's wrong with them. Go find them, meet with them, whether it's 12 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, noon the next day, whatever time it is. You have to be willing to show them that you care. And that you are there to get them to where they want to go. So it can be many different avenues in doing it. You know, sending them an email or sending them a MySpace comment or just calling them up and saying, hey, what's the matter? I haven't heard from you in a couple of days. What's going on, you know? Because once you start showing the level that you care, then it tends to intrigue your client to want to do more in the process.
Right. I've been fortunate enough to meet with a lot of major artists. And they told me something that certain managers would do in order to obtain them as clients. They told me certain managers have went so far as to say, I will sleep with whoever, to get you a deal, which is crazy to me, but that's fine.
Right.
If that's the route they want to go. My question for you is, you want to do everything you can for your artist, honest, obviously, but when does it, you have to kind of draw the line and kind of say, not tell an artist necessarily what they want to hear, but what they need to hear?
You have to be very frank with people. And you have to be willing to not, in a sense, make them mad to a point where you put them in tears or anything, but you have to be very honest with them. There's a point when you have to cut it off. All my clients know that when we're talking business, it's just business. When we're outside of what we're doing, we can be friends, but there's no way that two can go to the same at the same time. So you have to be willing to make recommendations to them, and sometimes you have to be willing to tell them, this is what you're going to have to do. And a lot of clients will be stubborn, and a lot of managers will sell themselves out to get the client what they want. And in the long run, that's not achieving nothing, because that's going to come back and haunt you later on. So you have to be willing to make them understand, because I said all my clients on the path, it's a 2 to 5 year run for success, you know. So you have to be willing to tell them, you're going to have to work hard. There are certain things you're going to have to do that you don't want to do in order to get into the right doors. So you have to be very vocal. You almost have to be like a Simon sometimes, you know, Simon Cowell from American Audit. You have to be like that sometimes with your client. And when you develop that one-on-one attention with them, they tend to understand. They may get a little mad at the time, but as they sit back and think about it, they'll understand that you've got the best interest out for them.
Right. Do you think there's a separation with artists between sometimes the reality and what they see on TV? Because, you know, they see on TV all of a sudden, and they think an artist goes from obscure to superstar, but, I mean, obviously we know that's not true, but how do some of the artists that you work with or just come in contact with, you know, see that?
It's the first thing that I tell everybody that I deal with. You know, the entertainment world has taken a big hit with reality TV because it makes the assumption to every singer out there that you can make it in a 13, 14, 15-week process, or to every model, you know, from the shows that you do this and this and this, you're going to make it. Most of the clients I deal with, after we sit down and talk, they understand that that's not, because you don't see the whole reality behind that. You know, the shows only show you what they want to show you. They don't show you that that artist on American Idol is getting up at the crack of dawn and working until 11 to 12 o'clock every night, doing radio interviews, magazine shoots, magazine interviews, practicing their songs, learning stuff, you know. They don't show that. So when you start down, sitting down and talking to your artist and explaining all that to them, it's a very wide, eye-opening experience for them.
No, definitely. I agree with you 110% on that one. Now I'm gonna get into your artist a little bit. First is Mike Sims. He's currently or in the process of starting a tour, correct? Starting in London, going to Paris, and all those. Tell us a little bit about him as an artist.
Mike Simmons he's been out in the industry. He actually was born in Iowa, and then he moved out. You know, he went to school for a while in college and decided one semester of that was enough, and he gave up. So he basically went out homeless in his car and traveled the U.S. for a period of time, driving from coffee shop, playing to make money, you know, to live on. So he's been doing music for about 5 years now. He had never really been hooked up with a manager, and I put some ads out when I first started my company, and we started talking. He's a good kid. He's got very good knowledge. He's got beautiful music. He writes all of his own stuff. He plays a little piano and a little guitar. But he's more of the one-on-one style for the crowd. And through the development, you know, we've went through our ups and downs in getting him going. But we have been able to secure some venues overseas in London. He'll actually start his first date January 10th over there. And we'll be playing at one of the nationally recognized clubs at the Half Moon Putney, which is where Bono and Natasha Bedingfield and some of the major acts overseas have played at. And then he'll be going to Paris. He'll stay in London for that month of January, then go to Paris in February, and then come back to London for March and April. He's also got a CD that we're in the process of getting a distribution deal for. He's got his first CD is done. And we're hoping to have that out and released by the time he comes back from London next year. So a lot of things in the works for him, but he's a good kid. He really knows what he wants to do, and he's got a very good business head on his shoulders.
Okay. Let's talk about Courtney Locke. Tell us about her.
Courtney Locke is a 19-year-old girl, just graduated high school in Houston, Texas. She's in the process of moving to North Carolina right now to start school there. She's done some really great things in her short music career. She was on the cheerleading squad for the Arena Football League there in town as well. she's got a different style to her. You know, it's a cross between a Whitney and a Mariah, but she can put a little bluesy into her voice. So mm-hmm. we have her in the studio working right now to record a couple new songs. We're actually going to start her out in North Carolina doing some shows probably in the month of November, late November and December. We'll take a January break to finish up about 4 or 5 songs, and then we'll launch her out in February on a tour.
Okay. Let's go with Shamika Mosley.
Shamika Mosley is a girl out of Washington State, out of Tacoma. She is currently in the military. She's in the Army out there. A chief rank staff sergeant. She's actually getting ready to go to NCO school. The girl's moving up the chain. She actually did an 18-month tour in Baghdad. She has a little boy and a husband there. He does most of her beats on her songs. They do them right there in their apartment.
Okay, so they're husband and wife team, basically.
I'm sorry?
They're husband and wife team?
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
Guy's a phenomenal what he does in the studio as far as doing her beats and recording her music for her. She actually got to perform for the troops when she was in Iraq, which is very exciting and something that most people don't ever get to achieve. She's got her music playing in Washington State right now. It'll be out on the airwaves by the end of the week. I'll send you a link over when I get that if you want to put it out to people. And we're just currently working on getting her second album ready. We've got a couple record labels looking at her right now. I can't really say who they are right now because I'm in negotiations with them. But there's going to be big things to come from her. She's going to be taking about 4 months off at the beginning of the year to go to NCO school. And then she'll get a break and we'll finish up her second album. And so hopefully it'll be out by summer of next year.
Okay. And you work with models as well, so let's talk about a couple of your models. Let's talk about Janelle and Alina.
Janelle Lynn, yeah. She's based right here in Las Vegas. She worked at Harrah's Casino for a while and was doing some modeling on the side. She's done some big shoots. She's an up-and-coming girl. She just shot for Toby Keith's Whiskey Girls calendar out here. She was in Mexico for 3 weeks doing a promo campaign for Corona. And she's got several different things. She did a test shoot not too long ago for Playboy magazine. So, you know, she's moving up the chain as well. She left her job now. She's doing her modeling full-time. She makes enough money now to replace her income from her job. So there's going to be some big things for her happening. We're working on getting her into some of the clubs out here as well, maybe doing some hosting events and stuff like that as well.
That sounds good. And you have one more model, which is Alina.
Alina, yeah, she is an up-and-coming that just started out here in Vegas. She actually moved here from overseas and just started pursuing her modeling career. She's done a lot of glamour work for some big magazines and stuff based out of L.A. and here. So she's in the beginning stages of launching it. We're just in the process of rebuilding her portfolio now to get her ready to be marketed out. So we'll work on that. She's doing some trade show work and stuff like that out here, which is the best way to get seen by some of the bigger agencies or some of the bigger companies, because trade show work for models is good money. You know, they make decent money what they do for that.
Right. And finally, I want to talk about an artist who I fortunately had an opportunity to have on the show, which is Nikkei. I know she's been nominated for Velocity Magazine Award, winner of the Make 'Em or Break 'Em. Tell us a little bit about her.
Nikkei is a very interesting lady because, you know, when most people look at her, they probably get a self-portray image in her head of bad girl or whatever, you know, just by the way she appears. But it's far from the truth. She's a very sweet, young individual, has a very big business sense on what she's doing. She went to college. She's got her master's degree. So not only has she done that, but now she's pursuing her singing career. And, you know, with her as a manager, you don't have to, per se, manage her. You just have to lead her because she knows the path she's going on. So all you have to do is work the process of opening the doors and let her do her thing, because when she's in front of people, there's no question that she has the stage presence and the ability to take them by storm. She's also been asked to come on the new show as a contestant for The Last One Standing. So that's very exciting news that we just received not too long ago as well.
Sounds good. This is what I want to do here. First of all, if anybody has a question, make sure you hit us up, 646-200-4965. What I want to do is we're going to go into Nikkei's song, Brian 2009.
Right.
We're going to play that. And when we come back, though, I want to really talk about what you look for in an artist, you know, how people can, you know, contact you, because I'm sure I don't want to receive the hundreds of emails. I'm going to let you receive them.
Sure.
About people wanting, and just, you know, we're going to really talk about the management aspect of it, so people can really understand what a manager goes through on an everyday basis.
Absolutely.
You know, just managing artists. So what we're going to do, we're going to go into Nikkei. This is Brian 2009. We'll be back. People, we are back. That was Miss Nikkei with Brian 2009. Make sure y'all check out. Y'all can check out on her MySpace. I don't know if you guys want that song right there. It's myspace.com/NIQUEMATOS. So make sure y'all check her out. And for those of you who are interested, any of the other artists and singers and models that we mentioned Matt, you can actually go, if you go to We Got Now. hiphopourway.com and click on Matt's page for the show, you'll be able to see all the links to them so you can actually, you know, meet the models and listen to the singers and listen to all their tracks. And so make sure you do that. Matt, what I want to talk to you now is about the management side of things. First of all, and I think this is probably the most important part, what do you look for when you're looking for a talent?
When I start looking at somebody, as far as no matter what they do, I try to look at what they've already done, meaning have they been out, whether they're a singer, have they done any songs yet, have they done any type of performances yet. Look at kind of their background of where they're coming from, because I think what makes a great individual in the industry is somebody that's come from a background that they'll never forget. I try to look at their personality when I speak to them or meet them one-on-one, just kind of how they hold themselves when they're talking to me, and what type of persona they put off to me. And then I try to kind of dig in and see how dedicated and how desirable they are to do what's in front of them. You know, do you have the dedication to work at this 7 days a week? Do you have the dedication to work, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a day at it? You know, what's your goals? Where you want to go? You know, I try to stay away from people when they walk in the door that think they're already a superstar. You know, I want to take people that I can help, you know, have the chance to achieve that stardom.
Right. This is something really, really quick story, and it's gonna talk about the significance of a manager. I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of different artists. I actually have my own record label that I run, and I made a mistake early on, and this is my biggest mistake. I signed an artist who didn't have a manager, and the mistake there is one. You become the surrogate manager at that point.
Right.
And that is, as a record label head, that is not what you want to do. You do not have time, because a manager's job a lot of times is just to be a counselor, a therapist, and everything else for that artist on a day-to-day basis. And as a label head, a lot of times you do not have the time. So I signed this artist to the label, not on the management capacity, but to the label. And I'll never forget this. Now, she's under contract and everything. I was young at the time, so I kind of laughed this whole thing off. But she said to me, I didn't call her enough, so the contract was null and void. Now, I could have went through a whole big deal, like, are you losing your mind? But I took it as a lesson to say I will never again, ever, ever, ever again sign an artist who doesn't have a manager. So if you're an artist out there and you're listening and you want to get signed to a label, please, please, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, find a manager. Call Matt up, please, because it's imperative that you have a manager, because a manager who understands the business, one, and they can communicate with the label and be your liaison between you and the label. That's one of the major things that a manager does, and structures these deals for you and everything else. A label head is not a manager. So I just wanted to say that really quick. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. You know, and the fact of the matter is that in today's world, most of the labels won't even talk to you without representation now. So you're going to be banging your head against a door that's never going to open. And second to the point of what you said, a manager does become a multifaceted person. You have to put on a lot of hats every day, you know, from the counselor to, you know, showing them the business side, to making the calls, to directing them, to keeping them on a path. And it's not something that a label has time for. And, you know, because a manager is the unseen person in the business. Most of the people don't even know who the manager is, because they're the behind-the-scenes kind of person, because they don't have time for the glitz and glamour to go out and do all the events that the singers or the models or the actors, actresses would do. Because that is our job, to stay behind to make sure you're on that path. And if we can't be there, we send somebody with you to make sure you stay on that path. It's very important.
Right, exactly.
Most of my artists, no matter where they go, have somebody to escort them to where they're going to go. Because I believe that's how you keep them out of the spotlight on the wrong side of it. You know, so I agree 100% with you.
Right, right. Tell us, what is the hardest part, do you think, about working with a new talent?
I'd say the hardest part with working with a new talent is breaking them down, is getting them to understand that they have a gift, but that it has to be molded and it has to be structured. You have to, most of the time when you meet a talent, they've already been told by their family, friends, whoever, that they're great, that they're going to be fine in whatever they're going to do. And sometimes that's true. Most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, you need to break them back down and start at square one and work your way back up, because you have to change their whole mentality, because they think that they're a singer or a model. They are, but they also need to learn the business side of what they're doing, because that's what it is. It's a business. It's
right.
Not that you're just a singer. It's a business. This is going to be your livelihood. So you have to break them back down and start all over.
Right. One thing that I found that's very important for a manager is I call it the therapy aspect. A lot of time you become the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that aspect and just how difficult does it become, because you're trying to, when you're managing, especially more than one person, you take on a lot of, you know, people's problems, basically, on yourself, you know, whether it's just helping them get through it or actually figure it out how to complete this. So tell us a little bit about the therapy aspect of management.
You know, the therapy aspect generally starts around finances, you know, because
mm-hmm.
people want to quit what they're doing to achieve the goals that they want to do. And 9 times out of 10, they're not in a position to do that. So
right.
you basically start with the breakdown that, you know, you need to continue working until we get to a level. And in the therapy, you know, initially there's a lot of consultations going on. There's a lot about finding out about who the person is. And as you deal with them on a regular basis, you get to know more and more. Because I try to get my clients to open up to me and tell me, you know, what's been going on in their life. I don't press real hard until I get to know them really well, because you have to know where they've been, what they've done, even if they've made mistakes in their life. I'm not going to penalize you for that, but I need to know where you've been in order to take you where you want to go, because you have to know, because talking to clients, you have to know that, because that's how the therapy comes into it. If you know where they've been, if they've been in a bad childhood or they got locked up for something crazy or whatever, if you know that, then you know how to approach them when they're having a bad day. But if you don't have that information and you talk to them wrong, it sets off a whole chain of events.
Right. Right. Let me ask you this. Where do you find your talent, the talent that you work with for the most part? Where do you find, or do they find you for the most part?
Some of them find me. Some of them I put ads out on MySpace or Craigslist or just network through people that I've done favors for will bring me talent. You know, if I take care of somebody and help them out in a bind when they need something, I get referrals, you know. And I think that goes back to the whole trust issue. When you get people in the industry that trust you and you've done something for them when you said you were going to do it, they believe in you. And they will send people to you. I just signed on a TV celebrity not too long ago. Actually, we just finalized the contract yesterday. And in the process of meeting with them one-on-one, with her and her publicist, she's like, you know what? You're a go-getter. She said, you're a hustler. I've got somebody I want you to meet because they need help too. They lost their manager because they weren't doing their job, you know? So through it all comes back to what you do, you know?
Right.
Even when you're starting out brand new, if you do some things right initially, the talent will come to you in time. You know, I'm getting probably 30 to 40 submissions a day now, whereas when I
wow.
first started, I didn't get any, you know, but now they're
right.
starting to flow.
Right. And so who, okay, so you manage, you know, singers, models, what other type of people do you manage?
The celebrity I just signed on yesterday is an actress. She's been on TV. Bonnie
mm-hmm.
McCardo is her name. She was on season 2 of Flavor of Blood. She was hired by VH1 to be a spy on the show. She's also
okay.
been on the hit NBC series My Name is Earl, been on Saving Grace on TNT with Holly Hunter, and done some other things. I network with a lot of DJs that I don't necessarily have signed, but that I've got
mm-hmm.
jobs for. I network with some magicians as well, some illusionists. So I'm kind of, you know, spread out. I've not got into much else other than that, but I'm always looking. If you find somebody that's dedicated, it doesn't matter what field they're in. If they need help and I think that they're going to benefit both of us in the process, then you always take a look at them.
Right, right. Let's talk about the almighty it factor, as they say. You know, the person has that it factor. How do you know when a person has that?
You know, if it's a singer, when you're listening to the music, if it inspires me, if I, you know, if I feel that connection to the song, then I think they've got it. Because I think
mm-hmm.
America's perception of anybody in the entertainment field, if they can relate to you, then you're going to sell yourself. You ain't got to worry about it. So I think it's that relatability factor. If they've got that, if I know that they can relate for what they're putting out, then to me that's an it factor, because I believe that's how your fans make you big. If they can listen to a song and it inspires them to get out of bed or out of the hospital, or if you do a movie and you play such a great part in it that it inspires people to go after their dream. To me, that's the it factor.
Okay. I've always been told there are four major things to look for when you're searching for an artist. That's talent, their story, their presentation, and their work ethic. What do you feel out of those entities is probably the most important thing, or are they all equally important?
Well, I think presentation ultimately is one of the biggest goals. How you present your people, present yourself when you're going out, you know, to present mm-hmm. yourself to people. Then I think work ethic is probably right with it. And then I think the other two fall in line. But I think presentation and work ethic are probably the two major things that you need to have. Because if you've got a talent and you can present yourself well, but you won't work hard, you're not going to go
right.
anywhere.
Right.
So I really think those two are like right there is the number one and number two thing that you need to have no matter what you do. And it's the same in the business world. If you've got those two things, then you're going to go far in the business world.
Right. Right. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had to let an artist go?
Actually, I have. I signed a lady up out here in Las Vegas, and, the thing I do when I send contracts out or I give contracts to artists, you know, I always recommend they take it to an attorney. Take it, have somebody
right.
look at it, because I don't want you signing nothing that you don't understand, because I don't understand all the language in a contract, you know? So
right.
I always recommend, you know, and I got this girl, and I thought she was going to be a really good singer, and in the process of signing the contract, you know, a couple days later, you know, I get a message from her that her attorney wants to take a look at it after she's already signed it. And I'm like, you know what? I don't really have time for all that, so what I'm going to do is I'll just go ahead and let you go before we get into a mess of problems that neither one of us want to deal with. So, you know, and I've had to let another one go that wouldn't do anything, you know, that gave me this big spill about how they're going to work hard and do the things I want them to do and never did it, you know. So,
right.
it, you know, it goes back to the work ethic, you know. Sometimes you get burnt in the process, and you will. It's going to happen. You know, I'm sure you've been, like you said, you've been burnt at your record label. And I'll get
right.
burnt more than once. You know, it's going to happen
right.
because we put a certain trust in what we hear to a point. And then there's
right.
a point when you have to look at it from the business side and say, okay, that's enough.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I'm a new artist. I'm coming to you, or I want to seek you for management. How should my artist presentation be? How should I present myself to you to make you say, hey, he's all right or she's all right?
Well, we need to meet one-on-one. I always say that a one-on-one interaction is the best interaction you're going to get. But there are some times when I've signed artists that I haven't been able to meet initially. So, you know, putting together a good package with pictures, songs, your history, your bio, talking to me on the phone. The problem with people is they just want to submit an email and want me to call them. Well, if you really want it, then you need to call me and chase me. Because
right.
I don't necessarily have time to get on the phone and call you to see what it is you want to do. So, you know, putting
right.
the whole plan together and sending it out in a press kit and then calling me to follow up to make sure I got it and I looked at it or listened to it, and then we can go from there. But I think that's the mistake a lot of people make is the Internet is a good tool in certain ways, but there's a certain ways that it becomes the enemy because I think
right.
they can just send an email and you're going to call them. Well, that's not how the process works. First, you got to show me that you want it by getting in touch with me.
We always talk about, you know, when an artist is ready for the big time, when they're ready for that next step up. How do you know when you're managing someone? Because obviously, I always say it's a ladder process. You don't go from, you know, the bottom to the top in a day. It's always different levels. How do you know when an artist is officially ready for that next step?
You know, I take them through a process kind of like you. You know, I've always said it's a 2 to 5 year plan, but it can be done much sooner. We basically have to start with the right thing because you only get one opportunity. So your music has got to be the best that it can be. And typically
mm-hmm.
we take 3 to 6 months just to get 2 or 3 songs together, start you out in small venues with a very small crowd, 25 to 50 people. Then your next show is going to be bumped up a little bit more. And your next one... Because I say it's a 4-show minimum before you're ever ready to perform in front of anybody that can give you that break.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a process, and through their dedication and their work, their music, the crowd response they're getting, the MySpace response they're getting, the number response they're getting, determines a lot of when they're ready to have a shot to go in front of somebody that might make a decision to bring them on.
Okay. I have another question for you, but before we do that, what I want to do is make sure you give out your information, whether it be your MySpace or a website, what have you. So if anybody who's listening and they want to reach out to you, how can they reach out to you?
You can go to my website. It's www.standsmanagement.com. That is my main website. I would rather get submissions there than I would on MySpace. Or you're free to call me at my office in Las Vegas, Nevada, at area code 702-688-5650. When I'm not there, that phone call is forwarded to wherever I'm at. So either go to the website or call me. Those are the best two communications to do.
Sounds good. Let me ask you this. What's your opinion on the state of the entertainment industry right now? With all the downloading of this and the, you know, all the avenues where once people flourished are kind of, we're kind of going away from that model right now. And people are trying all different type of crazy gimmicks and everything else to see what sticks.
I think the biggest problem with the entertainment industry that I've seen is the fact that over years it's got away from the quality and went to quantity. Meaning that a lot of it's based on numbers, and I think that's where the internet came in and became such a big tool of putting your music on iTunes or CD Baby or whatever you're going to use, or putting it on your MySpace or whatever avenue. And I try to discourage artists from doing that, you know, and I tell them one thing, which I think is a great avenue to get noticed, is to use YouTube. If you're going to do that, don't put your music out until it's ready to be on a CD.
Right.
Well, you can do some stuff on YouTube, but I really feel that the industry actually is starting to wake up now because of the economy being so bad over the last couple of years, that they're actually trying to focus more on the quality of the product they're putting out versus the quantity, because you've seen artists like Britney Spears or R. Kelly or several of them that have done such things that have hurt the industry image altogether.
Right. Do you think the record labels will ever bring artist development back? Because I think, to me, in my opinion, I feel that's where they want an already packaged product, which is all shiny and good stuff, but they're not in the business of developing it anymore. It's really, you have to be ready to go. Once they decide to pull that plug on you or pull that lever and say, let's go, you have to be ready. Do you think they'll ever bring that back?
You know, I don't know if they ever will or not. And the problem with that is that a lot of the major labels have, you know, third-partied everything out now. They've created all these separate entities to their one company so that not only can they find that artist, but yet they can still make money while these other companies are developing artists for them. And I think when you start putting so many middlemen into the process, it's very difficult to find that artist that's going to be successful for you.
Mm-hmm. Really quick, I want to touch on 360 deals. For those of you who don't know what a 360 deal is, it's really simple. It's when basically the record labels take a piece out of everything you do, from merchandising to shows to pretty much everything. In your personal opinion, what do you think, because, I mean, obviously you're a manager, so your cut is different in a 360 deal than it would be in the regular deal as well.
Right.
Do you think that's where the industry is going now? It's basically they're going to find a way to make money, so they're going to basically anything and everything they can get their hands on, they're going to touch.
I absolutely agree with that. I think that the industry itself has been hurt over time due to the fact that they went after quantity instead of quality initially, and in the process, it has hurt a lot of the labels by some of the artists that they put out that have failed. And I think another aspect of that is that people don't understand when these companies sign these artists and they give them these big checks, a lot of these people don't realize you're going to pay that money back over time. That's not a free gift. You know,
right.
It's going to come back at some point in time, no matter what, whether it comes back from your record sales or tour sales or website sales or whatever product you're putting out, it is going to come back. So I think the record labels are going to do anything in their power to make money off of you. Now, obviously, if you could go out and sell several million albums, there'll be a point in time when you're going to make pretty decent money. But initially, it's going to be very tough unless you can come out and be a pretty big star right off the bat.
Right. Definitely. I agree with you 100%. Let's do this. Tell us about what upcoming projects you got. And anything else you need people to know before we head out of here?
I'm working on a deal out here with my buddy Antonio Smith, who's working on bringing Aaron Hall out here to a hotel and casino event. We've got, hopefully we'll have him locked into a four-show deal on that, along with, he's working with several other labels for the stars that want to come out here in Vegas, because everybody right now is setting their 2009 tour if it's not already done. So
right.
We're working on several big events there. We're just waiting on Nikkei to go on the show and see if she wins her awards. And we're in the process of putting her press kit together for the labels and her package to the sponsorships that we're looking for 2009. So I'm working on a little bit of everything for each person that I'm dealing with.
Sounds good. Well, Matt, it was a pleasure. We got through a whole hour. I didn't know how we were going to do it, but we pulled it through and got through a full hour. We got everything in that I wanted to personally ask. One thing, too, I do want to talk to you offline about a couple of things.
Okay.
When you get an opportunity to shoot me an email.
Not a problem.
We'll make that happen.
You're more than welcome to call that number I gave out anytime, man. I'm available, you know, I'll make time for you, so don't worry about that.
Matter of fact, just in case someone didn't hear it, make sure you shout out that number one more time in your website as well. Make sure you get that out of there.
Everybody can go to www.standsmanagement.com. Or you can contact me here in Vegas at 702-688-5650.
Sounds good. Well, once again, I appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
All right. Signature, it was a pleasure, man.
All right. Sounds good. All right, everyone. That was Mr. Matt Stanley from President and Founder of Stanley Talent Management. Definitely hope you guys got a lot of – I know I took a whole page full of notes. Is based on the things he was sharing with us. But other than that, we're gonna make our way out of here. We have a lot of great shows for you coming up. We haven't posted the list on the website as of yet. The shows for next week, we're going to get that done tonight, so make sure y'all check that out. We'll be posting that up ASAP. So we're going to make our way out of here. You know how it goes down. We got now. We don't care. We got next. Peace!
So they wanna square off, work with a threat, dab uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough, home searching the net? You don't really wanna work with a threat.
And this corner in the green trunks, they call it legal slump, because you legal slump, and you can't even front. And this corner is the dawn of a new breed, embroidered on a robe by the words I'ma do me. Height 5'7", kick 5'7", right-left combo, that's so 9-11. 135, pound for pound, never been knocked down, stood through every round. 22 wins by way of knockout, opponents now looking for a way to cap out. First in my class, heavyweight champ, strength, conditioning, and I straight dance. The name mean to be, call me the boss. This catching cold feet, you can totally forfeit. Come on, bitch, your girl fist leaves you exhausted before you even know what you lost. This you lost.
So they wanna square off, work with a threat, jab uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough, home searching the net? You don't really wanna work with a threat. So they wanna square off, work with a threat, jab uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough, home searching the net? You don't really wanna work with a threat.
Couple knockdowns, but I'm not down. Corner men throw in styles, rest stop rounds, aim high. Can't stand the face that'll leave you out on your feet. Standing eight or TKO'd. I ease they low, leave them curled on the floor like they 3 days old. I dominate the ring, devastating blows. Dominate the game, devastating blows. Heavyweights levitate, I make the levees break. Let me demonstrate, let it escalate. I'm from the old school, you know, rope a dope, peekaboo, boom, the old okie doke. Sizzle like grease, sizzle like soda hot, drizzle like honey, but I pop like a loaded glock. I double hip hop in your face. Left hand beat, right hand bake.
So they wanna square off, work with a threat, jab uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough, home searching the net? You don't really wanna work with a threat. So they wanna square off, work with a threat, jab uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough, home searching the net? You don't really wanna work with a threat. I'm the
real McCoy, boy, use a face. faith. It's not a fair fight, cause you're a cruiserweight. You're running out of suns. I pack a power punch. And if the man clean, you won't leave without a lump. Sparring in a square ring, swinging cause my ears ring. Talk of the town, I'm off from around to bring it. Yeah, I've been jumping rope, working calisthenics. You're so pathetic, I see your face in the focus, man. Whoever's commentating can commentate on my combinations. You against me, it's not a common denomination. Balance sheet agility. You can't get rid of me. When you search for competitors, don't consider me. Mouthpiece sin, I don't bite my tongue. No kids still beat you like my son. Let's see how you feel when you're not so conscious. Third man in the ring yelling, no conscience. So they wanna square off, work with a flank. Jab, jab, uppercut. Am I hurting them yet? How you gonna get tough home, surfing the net? You don't really wanna work with the weapon.